And, you know, it's not often that we get a real news guy on the show.
Man, am I jacked about this interview.
Really glad to say I was ahead of the curve on this show. First time I saw this, smash.
Yeah.
For all the right reasons.
Absolutely amazing.
The Dateline Catch a Predator, when they get the kid touchers.
Right.
Remember, they ran it originally like in the wasteland of TV on a Friday night. And
that's when I saw it.
Because I'm a loser. I was at home on a Friday night, too.
And it was a rare Friday night I saw it. It blew me away.
Anyway, it's on again tonight. As I've mentioned before, I think it should be a regular series every week. I don't think it should be on against American Idol. I think it can be like the America's Most Wanted of an entire different genre of creeps in America.
So many questions for this guy.
Here's Chris Hansen from NBC. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you?
Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
I don't know if you heard Love. I mean, and, you know, don't get me wrong. When I say Love, like your show is Friends or something like that, or Seinfeld. But
yeah, pardon us if we both gush a little bit. That doesn't happen very often, Chris, but, you know, we both saw this early on, and it's just, I've got so many questions for you. It's blowing me away.
Love the concept, love the execution.
And one of the things I want to ask you right out of the shoot is that you've got this situation where you do this, and the genesis of this idea to go after these guys, where did this come from? Because you've seen America's Most Wanted, but to actually get involved in this sting, how long was the preparation for this thing?
Well, this started, guys, you know, back in 2004, and I had seen, you know, some local stories about Perverted Justice, the online watchdog group, and what it was doing, which was essentially having its volunteers pose as teens in chat rooms. They'd set up a profile with a picture that was unmistakably underage and just sit there and wait for men to hit them up. And that would happen quite quickly. And there'd be a conversation. The decoy would be open to the idea of a visit and perhaps a sexual liaison. And once the guy committed to visit, then they would post this guy on their website. And we started talking about it here, and we said, you know, what if we actually got a house, and what if we actually used, you know, all our whiz-bang technology and hidden cameras and microphones and really did something here in conjunction with these folks. So in September of 2004, we did that, and that was the first hour that was done in a house in Long Island, New York.
Right.
Did it again in Washington. I think you guys saw that one.
Yeah. That's the one I saw first, yeah.
With the rabbi and the doctor and the, the teachers and the guy who walked in naked. And, you know, one of the criticisms we had after that one was, how come these guys were not all arrested?
Right.
Right.
And some of the guys are facing prosecution now. I think five or six of them. But to be honest with you, you know, the Fairfax County Police took some heat on this, and undeservedly, because it's hard for them to make a case when, you know, they get a bunch of transcripts of chats from Perverted Justice, and they have our finished story. And there you go. So now they got to go through that. They got to work backwards.
Haven't I seen in recent episodes where now it's evolved, at least in some of them that I've seen, like the one that was on last week, the one that I saw.
Right.
When the guy left, there were cops outside that were waiting for it.
Exactly. So on the third one we did, which is in Riverside County, California, the Riverside County Sheriff's actually called Perverted Justice and said, hey, look, we're interested in setting up our own operation, obviously related to what you and Dateline are doing, but we would set up our own command post, our own stuff. You guys be the decoys. Let Dateline be the journalists. You know, we're not going to interfere with what you're doing in the house. But when the guy leaves, we'll arrest him. And we were able to work that out, so we had enough independence both for journalists and for law enforcement. Perverted Justice sort of acting as the middleman, if you will. We get the transcripts from them. They also give them to the police. They stay in contact with the police so they know what's going on. And it really worked out well. So we've been contacted, obviously, by other law enforcement agencies, or I should say Perverted Justice has, and that's what led to, you know, the small-town Ohio investigation, and then we have one coming up after that that's down in Southwest Florida.
The sheer volume, and that's when I first saw your episode that you did with Fairfax County, the sheer volume of this many guys, and, you know, we live in this area, and it's right in our backyard. It absolutely it was mind-boggling to me that you could set this up and get just person after person after person after person.
And return customers.
And return customers. Did it surprise you that that you had this many, I mean, that this many people were not, you know, not only being perverted on the internet, but acting on these conversations and showing up?
Well, yeah, it was very surprising on a couple of different levels. And as you'll see tonight and in the next couple of weeks, I mean, we've got guys coming in now who have seen our previous stories.
Okay.
Some guys who recognize me almost from the moment I walk out. We have one guy say, okay, oh, it's you. That's the chair where I sit right there. Okay, and this is the part where you do the interview.
This is what I want to ask you about before we play a clip and you can walk us through this.
Sure.
You've got incredible balls to stand and come out from behind the shadows, even though, you know, you're on TV and I'm guessing there's security there. You have to control your emotions.
Yeah, and I would think that he would be wondering about what one of these guys might do. I mean, not in a bad case scenario.
Not to right away want to jump up and say, oh, my God, you're a kid toucher. What is your problem? You come around the corner and you say, hey, what are you doing here? Now, the more you do it, I guess the question I have is, does it get easier for you? And were you at all not physically scared, but
did you fear for your personal safety?
Or just mentally, was there a part of you thinking, you know, God, I'm in the room with this absolute creep, but I got to come around the corner and like tell him without telling him right away he's on TV.
Yeah, what's it like on a personal level for you?
Well, it's you know, you get anxious. You know, your heart's in your throat. You know, obviously we take precautions, and a lot goes into the planning of these things, so everybody's safe. We are able to see the guy coming from a long distance. We're able to look at his behavior, see what he's bringing in. But you know, there have been a couple anxious moments. I mean, in the episode you'll see tonight, in tonight's investigation, there was a guy who came in, and a short guy, not physically menacing. And when I say short, I mean like, you know, less than 5 feet tall.
Wow.
And he even takes him a minute to get up on the stool, you know, the way the thing is set up with the bar there and everything.
God.
And it turns out that this guy, this is late on a Sunday night, this is like one of the last guys who came in at the very end of the investigation, turns out that this guy, the following Thursday, 4 days later, was supposed to show up and start serving a prison sentence after pleading guilty to the very same thing in the previous months.
Jesus.
So he's got his hands behind his back, and I tell him a couple times, look, do me a favor and just, you know, keep your hands out front. And they usually respond right away. But he keeps putting his hands back in his pants, and it's making me, you know, sort of anxious here. Now, I know that there's a camera on the other side, and, you know, the crew upstairs and, you know, our security folks are watching that closely, and they would say something if they had an issue there. And it turns out I think he might have been just, you know, nervous and fidgety. But, you know, you do worry about that kind of thing. And thus far, you know, we've been no serious incidents.
Let's hear one of these. Maybe you could walk us through this.
Absolutely.
Is from last week. This is a really good, you know, I hate saying this with you on the phone, but it's like the way I described it on the air when I played the clip. It's a really good one because the perv is a teacher.
Right.
And you nail him on it. So let's listen to this and then walk us through what happened. We'll play an example. Here's the clip, and then we'll ask Chris what it was like.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm just going to go finish getting ready. I'll be right there.
Come here.
No, I promise. I'll be right back.
No, come here.
I'll be right there. Just wait. You got to be a little patient.
Actually, I want you to come here.
That's what I thought.
Who did you think you were going to meet here?
Just this kid I've been talking to.
This kid?
I know she's a kid.
How old?
13, 14.
13. And how old are you?
Too old for 13, 14-year-old.
Too old. What do you do for a living, Jim?
I'd rather not say. Who do you work for?
I'll get to that in a minute.
No, I'd really like to know. I'm sure I'm on TV or something right now.
Why don't you just tell me what you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
And what grade do you teach?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade. So you teach kids about the same age as the girl you were coming to see.
James Rutherford is a sixth-grade teacher at a Catholic school in Cincinnati, where he also coaches track. He drove 2 hours to get here.
I would never do anything. I don't know why I'm here.
You were on your webcam, showing off in front of this 13-year-old girl.
I know.
And the conversation you had with this girl
was bad. I know. I don't know why. I need help. I am going through a divorce. My wife Thursday told me she was leaving.
Shut up, you loser. I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked John Walsh. Seriously, when you do a show like this, and you come around, how do you control yourself? Like, when you find out he's a teacher, seriously, and I know you're not a violent man, you wouldn't do this. How do you just control yourself from just not...
choking the guy.
Just say,
well, I mean, first of all, you know, that's not the mission here.
I know it's not,
but... to go out. And I'm not condoning, by the way, or defending, you know, anything any of these guys have done. But my job is to go out there and get information and get inside this guy's mind and figure out what makes a 26-year-old sixth-grade teacher who's also a track coach, who seemingly is a normal guy, doesn't look like a predator, is a functioning member of society, what makes him get online, use a webcam, chat with a girl he thinks is underage, and drive his car 2 hours on a weekend afternoon for a meeting?
Yeah,
you know, I'm genuinely curious to understand it.
Well, from a viewing standpoint, Chris, and I say this as the father of two young daughters, when I watch this, what I think, I make no bones about the entertainment value I get out of seeing you bust these guys and see these guys taken off the street. And I hope that, you know, the justice system goes the distance to take care of these guys and get them out of the mix, because I'm terrified and at the same time gratified to see somebody bringing this situation to light. And on that, there's a question that I think we all asked the other day. When you see these guys, when you see a rabbi, when you see a teacher, we were wondering about the legality of these guys letting their faces be shown up.
Because
how does that work where they're on TV?
When we watch Cops, we see a lot of pixelated faces.
Right,
I'm thinking, if I walked into this thing, the last thing I'm going to do is sign a release for you saying, go ahead, put me on TV.
Well, the difference between us and those other shows is that we're a news program and we don't have to get the permission. So in other words, if you're an entertainment program, you've got to get something signed. Because I'm a news program, you know, unless there's an issue about somebody who's underage or somebody who, you know, is otherwise unable to or should not be identified on television. You know, we had some issues in the very first one with a guy who came in who was mentally ill and had just been discharged from a hospital after being treated for a schizophrenia. And the decision was made ultimately in that case to blur his identity because of that, because of sensitivities to his mental illness.
You know, this is a tough question to ask any broadcast journalism, but you have to. I have to ask you this: the value of this. Where do you think the most important value is? I think, frankly, it's enlightening parents, making them realize what's out there and just how dangerous the internet can be.
I agree.
That's what I think.
I think the two most important things that have been accomplished here are one. I think we've initiated a dialogue between parents and children, between teachers and parents, and teachers and children as to the dangers that are online. And the other thing I think that's happened is, 2 years ago, I would venture to guess in most cities in America, if a school or school district said, we're going to have an Internet Safety Awareness Night tonight, and we want all the parents to come to the seminar in the gym at the high school, you'd get a handful of people, and they would be the most involved, you know, PTA committee chairman. Today, we are told that because of what we've done, and it's not just us, the New York Times has done some incredible reporting on it.
Come on, your show has really, really got this thing going.
Well, but a lot of people have done a lot of hard work. A lot of police agencies have operated on their own. The FBI has done it. But because of all that, you know, we're told and we have seen that in many of these things, you know, it's standing room only now. And people are focusing on it.
Okay.
So, I can only see good coming from that.
Then I'll be the one that says it because I've thought it for a long time. It's a great cause. I love seeing it. I think it could be a regular show. And I know that the journalist in you...
Do you go into the entertainment arena when you do that?
Because you're
point?
A news guy. I'm sure you wouldn't want to do that. But can't you see this as, I mean, almost like what John Walsh has done?
Horrifically enough, there's an unlimited supply of these.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm saying.
Clearly, it's captivating, compelling television, you know. But each time we do it, we balance that knowledge with the fact that, you know, what we're really trying to do here is good, solid enterprise journalism. And at the end of the day, the enterprise techniques that we've used here are very much the same techniques as we used in Cambodia to expose, you know, sex tourism and child sex slaves, in India to expose slave labor, children in the silk business, silk that ends up on Madison Avenue and Fifth Avenue, and in Bangladesh, to expose conditions in the factories where clothes are made for Walmart and Sears and other companies. So, you know, we've just turned these techniques to internet safety and computer predators. Well, and the challenge for us is to figure out a good balance here when it comes to this and to figure out how to use this very compelling storytelling method on other critical issues facing us today.
You never know when those issues are going to crop up.
I know you don't want to hear it, but I mean, it's, you know, really. I mean, they're making a big deal about Howie Mandel opening up 40 cases on TV, and it's getting huge ratings.
Yep.
I'm saying you put a bald guy on TV with 40 cases and chicks in bikinis, and it's getting like a 12.4 share.
Mm-hmm.
You put your show on three nights a week. Blow everybody away.
And do some good at the same time.
Yeah.
Really, it is something, and I mean this as a father, that this, it opened my eyes up, and if it opens everybody else's eyes up, it's so nice to see something that, and I have to say it, it does have entertainment value to see the bad guys get their comeuppance, but also something that's doing an awful lot of good. You should be very proud of this, Chris. It's really great work.
Well, guys, thank you very much. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for being on the show. And did the guy with the zipper down oogie you out?
That was something. Well, you know, it's funny because in that case, you know, again, I'm around the corner and we're watching the monitor and we get a good view of what's going on. But, I wasn't sure what he was doing. And I sort of, I probably should have waited a couple more seconds just to let it play out. But I thought he might be trying to leave the house. I didn't know.
Yeah, it was gross.
And it wasn't until he turned around that I saw his zipper down. I said, well, let me get him to sit down and settle this down, and here, I'll ask about that in a minute.
Here it is again, and this is why you watch this show, and it's serious and all, like Mike was saying, but also you got there's some. It's sublime. You look at it, you go, where's reality, where's comedy? Listen to this.
My zipper came down. Excuse me.
Oh, boy.
The perv. My zipper came down.
Nasty stuff.
What a creep. Well, Chris, you're doing good work, and good luck with the show. We love it.
All right, guys.
Talk to you later, dude.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
All righty, now.
Bye-bye.
You know, I don't care what he says. He might low-key it, but the first few times they were doing that I don't care how much security you have to go out and directly confront those guys.
Yeah.
You don't know what they have on them, what they, you know, they concealed weapon, whatever, what anything might happen in that.
You know,
I mean,
what that is?
Isn't it one step? I mean, sure, it starts out as the sexual predator, but aren't the sexual predators these guys you hear about burying a kid's body somewhere?
Sometimes,
I mean, really.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, 10 p.m.,
yeah.
Take care of three time slots. It's that reality thing. Plus, as he said, or you said, somebody said, unlimited supply of these pervs.
I said that. I'm not happy about
unlimited
that.
Unlimited supply. No. Here's one more tape from last week's episode.
How are you tonight?
Fine.
What were you doing with your pants there when you were heading towards the door?
My zipper came down. Excuse me.
Oh, God.
I was just going outside to make sure everything's okay.
Well, you brought quite the selection tonight.
Yes, sir.
What do we have here?
Well, that's mine.
I liked having the guy on the show. You got to love his rap with these guys.
Oh, he is perfect.
He's so condescending to them.
Right.
Like, hey, you've got all your stuff here, don't you?
What are you planning on doing?
I mean, his delivery is really top-notch.
Yeah. Were you going to give any to the 15-year-old?
Oh, no. I don't do that.
Right. And you,
I got a 15-year-old daughter myself.
Well, Alonzo, you brought the 12-pack and two 6-packs.
I said, what does she like to drink? I was going to bring it. You got it in black and white that I said I'd bring it.
And you brought it.
Yes, I did.
You say that.
But she also asked for it.
It appears to be clear from this transcript that you are open to the idea of having sex with this girl.
No. Yes. Would I? No. Or maybe. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What is it, Alonzo? Yes, no, maybe so.
Maybe.
Maybe. So maybe you would have had sex with this girl.
Maybe.
What should happen to you, Alonzo?
I should go to jail.
There you have it.
Okay,
you know what?
There you go.
That's right.
Did that blow you out of the water when he said it's a news show so they can actually take the hidden cameras
everywhere? You know,
I mean, you could move this into 20 different areas of law enforcement.
And once he said it, originally I was thinking like, ooh, is that bad FCC, like giving them too much power? But think about like when 60 Minutes does their hidden camera stuff.
Right.
They never get nailed on that.
No, they don't.
You always see the bad guy. Or even when it's like whatever, 7 on your side. We went to the local muffler place and they show the guy on the hand, the camera that's in the handbag. Mm-hmm. You know,
sure.
It's that grainy where he's going, is going to be $800 to fix it. So there's a way around that.
How cool to talk to that guy. Really, yeah. I'm so impressed with that guy. I really am.
And again,
great broadcast journalist.
But good work.
Dumbasses at NBC. The show's on tonight at 9 o'clock against a little thing called American Idol.
It's disappointing that it is.
Where's my grid?
Because everybody ought to see this. If you have the TiVo, make sure you get it taped.
They'll beat unanimous.
Let me fix this right now. Okay, so it's on NBC.
You're going to do some reprogramming for the network? With your dream job as a network executive?
First off, they've got them in the wrong order. Deal or No Deal is on at 8 o'clock.
Which really seriously, in my opinion, the dumbest show on television.
A waste of television.
The Predator show is on at 9 against American Idol. Uh-huh. Law and Order is on at 10. It's simple. You move the Predator show to 8 o'clock so it's not on against Lost and American Idol.
Right.
And you get away with it at 8 o'clock because it's newsworthy and kids should be watching it so that they know that these guys are bad and NBC kicks ass.
Yeah, and that is one that I suggest for all parents if you haven't seen this.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got teenagers, even if you've got, mine were a little young and I didn't want to overload them with this, right. But I sure as hell talked to them after this.
Good.
Because all parents of young kids, especially early teenagers, should watch this show. You got to realize what's out there. It is mind-boggling to me.
I am being channeled right now by the ghost of Brandon Tartikoff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, he built the Thursday night back before it's the piece of crap now with Joey and Will and Grace.
Right.
And, I mean, Brandon Tartikoff, the late Brandon Tartikoff mm-hmm. would have seen this. He could have smelled this hit.
Yep. Absolutely.
Les Moonves. Hey, Leslie. Why don't you steal it for CBS?
But if you do put it on a regular basis... If you put it on a regular, does that then count as an entertainment program?
No.
Because, well, he was alluding to the fact that America's Most Wanted, or Cops, is kind of an entertainment program. That's why they have to pixelate.
Well, maybe it is. Well, you know, gosh.
See, now I don't know. I mean, that's a real... I'd love to know more about
that. All right, so it's just on once a week.
God knows those lawyers certainly talk our ears off. I'm going to ask them a question.
So you don't whore it out like I would three times a week.
Right.
But you put on just once a week.
Or you do it every other week.
Oh, you got to have, Mike, you got to have your fix.
Once a week.
You got to make sure you cover that. See, I'm thinking like a lawyer now. You got to have that legal aspect because I don't want those guys pixelated.
But what you got
to
do
God
is...
God knows they've tried to pixelate.
You got to pick your spot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For God's sakes.
I think just flip those two shows. Flip Deal or No Deal with the Predator show.
Deal or No Deal.
Well, put that on against Lost and
Deal
American
Idol. Deal or No Deal.
How many legs does that show have? I mean, really, when is that going to reach the finish line?
Well,
Do you think that's going to last a long time with Howie just going, Deal or No Deal? I mean, my God.
Here's the thing. They learned the lesson from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. They've got a stupid game show that people seem to like because there's nothing else on.
But Millionaire, they ask questions. This is seriously...
Right, that's why
it's... Is it in that case or is it in that case?
That's why it's so popular. Hold on a second before you yell about it and I yell about it.
Right.
Have you not watched it?
I did watch it once. I watched it one time and that was it.
Well, I
twice.
I wish I could say...
Three times, maybe.
I wish I could say I was as evolved as you.
But you...
I've watched it a lot.
God, I feel guilty. You caught me on this. I watched it because there was nothing else on. Damn it.
I got news for you.
What if Howie Mandel confronts the Predators? and as soon as he identifies one, he blows up the surgical glove.
Now I'm watching.
Right.
And then you get Chris Hansen on a stage with all the Miss America contestants.
Deal or No Deal?
And he's standing up there with all the suitcases. Meanwhile, yeah, it's Howie Mandel, germ-phobic Howie Mandel. Oh, you're a kid toucher. Oh,
yeah, right.
Oh,
exactly.
Hey, I've got my crazy Regis and Kathy Lee glasses on where you can't see that there's a hidden camera in them.
You know, guys like Chris Hansen, John Walsh, all those guys that do this kind of work, mm-hmm. I'm in awe of those guys.
Sure.
I think they're doing something with the medium that should be done. It's
doing
fantastic.
Good work.
I'm in awe of Howie Mandel.
I knew you were going to say that.
Deal or No Deal?
Deal or No Deal.
AP, American Phenomenon. Got a break right now. Howie Mandel on Dateline. Good, Jackie. Howie Mandel on Dateline. Feel or no feel? There you go. Thank you. We all need a timeout right now. I'm going to say that, and then we'll be right back.